It's great to be back worshiping with you guys this morning. Thank you for bracing the cold, right? It is really cold out. Actually, I don't know if you noticed, there's kind of a heat wave going on out there today because it was like 15 degrees warmer than it has been, at least according to my car. You may not agree. Anyways, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Emily Grubbs, and I was here last week, and I mentioned that I'm actually a children's pastor, which I'm sure you can imagine makes life very interesting, never a dull moment. In addition to teaching kids about Jesus, I also get to plan a lot of fun events, large outreach events like Easter egg hunts and vacation Bible school, trunk or treat, stuff like that. And it may not seem like it to an outsider's eye, but planning large outreach events like those I just mentioned, it's actually a lot of work. And I mean, there are a lot of details in the planning of it all. And I'm very type A. I'm a very type A person, so I take organization and planning very seriously. However, as I get caught up in the planning and the preparation of things, there's one problem that always comes up every time, no matter what. I always lose my keys in the midst of all I have going on. No matter how organized I am, it's crazy. I can manage to keep, you know, everything for an event or Sunday morning organized, but I can never keep track of where I set my keys down at. But rest assured, it happens all the time. And actually, for Christmas this year, my family got me this little device that you put on your key ring that hooks up to your phone. And if you lose your keys, you just press a button on your phone and it sets off an alarm to help you find your keys. And my problem with losing my keys is so bad that in my office in the past, I've kept my keys in the door so I know where they're at. And it always works out great until people come in and they're like, hey, you left your keys in the door, and they take them out. And I'm like, what are you doing? And I lose them. It's crazy. I could honestly go on and on about how long, you know, or how many times I lose my keys, but that's not why we're here today. But I do have one more story about losing my keys. It was a couple years ago. I was getting ready for a large event, and I was getting ready to leave work on a Wednesday night, and I was having a difficult time finding my car keys. And I'm not even kidding, I spent over 30 minutes looking for my keys. And you guys, they were sitting on top of a box in my office, clear as day. I do not know how I missed them. They were right there. Do you ever get so distracted in the midst of planning and trying to get things just right that you miss what's right in front of your eyes? It might happen more often than you think. And today we're gonna take a look at a woman in the Bible who was guilty of this very thing. And so I want to invite you to open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And this morning, we're going to dive into a story about Jesus and two of his close friends that I'm sure you've heard of. Their names are Mary and Martha. And they're actually sisters. They're the same sisters that we find in the book of John in chapter 11, whose brother Lazarus has died and is brought back to life by Jesus. And the Gospels, they paint a beautiful friendship between Jesus and this family. And in his associations with them, we get one of the best pictures of the human side of Christ found in the New Testament, seeing how he relates to his friends. And it's no surprise that Jesus would want to stop and spend time with some of his close friends on his way to Jerusalem. So this morning, I want to take a look at the story of Mary and Martha from a couple of different perspectives, from both sides of their stories. So we're going to start with verse 38 and read through 42. And I invite you to follow along with me. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. So let's start off by putting ourselves in Martha's shoes for a moment. Could you imagine having Jesus over to your house for dinner and what that must have been like? If this were me, I would be a nervous wreck, mostly because I'm not very good at cooking, but still. Jesus would be getting takeout if he came to my house. We'd get Chinese or something. But still, I would want to make sure that everything was perfect and just right. I would be stressing over the little details, wanting everyone in the house to pitch in to get things ready, right? This is Jesus. And in some translation of this passage, we see that Martha is slaving away. She's trying to get everything prepared. And she notices that her sister's not around, okay? And she's getting upset. So she goes to Jesus and she says that her sister has left her, right? That she's no longer with her, implying that maybe she was at one time helping her, but left to go and sit with Jesus. So Martha's doing all this work to get Jesus comfortable and feel welcomed in her house, and Mary's just sitting there. And this is really annoying to her, right? I'm sure if you have siblings, or maybe even you're thinking of your children, my parents are here today, and I'm sure my mom is thinking of how I've sometimes done that before. But it can be frustrating when you are doing all the work and you're wanting someone to help out. And as I said, I'm very type A, so I really resonate with Martha in this story and how she wanted everything to be just right. And the reality for Martha is that she's stuck doing all the work while Mary did nothing. And Martha not only blamed her sister, but we get the sense that she's kind of upset with Jesus because he's allowing her sister to leave her when she needs help, right? She's getting impatient. So coming to Jesus, Martha, she's confident that she's right, okay, that she has been wronged. Yet, did you notice she gets a totally opposite response from Jesus, where he says Mary is the one who's right in this situation. And here in this moment, Jesus is saying to Martha, hey, all the little things you're worried about, they're not as important as you think they are. You're focused on all the wrong things. Mary is focused on the one thing that truly matters, spending time with me. And Jesus, he wasn't blaming Martha for being concerned about household chores. He was only asking her to set her priorities. So I think it's necessary to stop for a moment and point out that the things that Martha was doing to prepare for Jesus, they weren't bad things. Actually, it was pretty awesome that she was willing to take Jesus in, who had been traveling. He needed some rest. He needed some food. And she was willing to invite him in to feed him, right? But Martha was so distracted in all that she was doing that she missed out on who was right in front of her, Jesus. And what Jesus is saying to Martha is that all these things that she's doing for him don't even compare to how special it is just to be with him. And sometimes, like Martha, we get so caught up in doing things for Jesus that we forget our need to simply spend time with Jesus. And we miss out on enjoying the presence of the one that we're preparing for. Recently, I've been reading this book called An Unhurried Life by Alan Fadling, and this book focuses on following Jesus' rhythms of work and rest, but also on our priorities and how hurriedness controls us. And in this book, he writes something that I think goes so well with the story of Mary and Martha, and I want to share it with you today. He says, many of us measure our faithfulness to God by how many tasks we get done for him or how many meetings we attend to plan his kingdom work. As glad as he is for our service, I believe he is even more pleased when we give him our attention and our friendship. It can be so easy to get caught up in what we're doing that we miss out on why we're doing it in the first place. And the truth is, God's greatest commandment is not get more things done. And that's really hard for us to understand in this fast-paced, got-to-get-things-done-now culture. But Jesus tells us in Matthew 26, 37, that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And it's easy to get consumed in what we do for the Lord because, if we're being honest, we're usually doing it out of our love for him, right? But if we're allowing all the things we're doing for Jesus to become our priority over spending time with him, then we've made busyness our idol. So let's change our focus for a moment and look at the story now through Mary's eyes. Like we just talked about, it may be hard for us, especially in our culture today, to understand why Mary wouldn't want to help make this dinner party for Jesus the best dinner party he's ever been to. Some of us, when first reading the story, we may even think that Mary is a little lazy, not wanting to help out, trying to get out of all the work. But think about it for a moment. Mary was so focused on Jesus being present right in front of her that nothing else seemed to matter at that moment. She had no desire to do anything else but sit at his feet and listen to what he has to say. And Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, it's actually of great significance in this passage because in Jewish culture, a disciple is generally said to sit at the rabbi's feet. So this posture that Mary was taking is one of a disciple, wanting to sit and listen to her teacher. And she wanted to soak up every moment that she had with Jesus and learn something from it. My guess is, while Martha couldn't understand why Mary would not be devoted to helping prepare the meal, Mary probably couldn't understand why Martha would want to be anywhere else but with Jesus. The reality is both Mary and Martha were serving Jesus, but Mary thought that, or Martha thought that Mary's style was inferior to hers. She didn't realize that in her desire to serve, she was actually neglecting her guest, right? So what Jesus says to Martha in this moment of her frustration is so important for us to understand because like Martha, we can get so worried and upset about many things that they end up consuming us. But Jesus is pointing out here that what Mary has discovered, the joy of spending time in his presence, is the only thing worth being concerned about. A meal is temporary, but time with Jesus is a gift forever. That's something that can never be taken from us. And I really believe that what Jesus is trying to say to us in his words here is that he treasures time with us. That we don't have to get caught up in the details because when we do, we miss the joy of his presence. And here, Jesus is trying to open our eyes to see that the things of this world, one day they're going to fade away. But our relationship with Jesus is something that we can never lose. That day at Martha's home, Jesus was not primarily interested in a well-filled table, but he was interested in being received with open hearts and an opportunity to spread his love, his table for those that he was with. And I wonder if Martha ever looked back on this moment and wished that she worried less about getting everything done and just spent more time with Jesus that day. And I don't know about you, but I never want to be so busy that I look back on my life and wish that I spent more time sitting at Jesus' feet, taking in his presence. So my question for you this morning as we continue into the start of 2018 is this. What posture do you want to take this year? One of busyness, like Martha, where you're focused on all the things that you do for Jesus? Or a posture like Mary, who was so excited about being in the presence of Jesus that she couldn't focus on anything else but sitting at Jesus' feet and taking in all he has to say. What if this year didn't have to be about all the things we're going to get done, but about how we're going to put our relationship with Jesus before all those things? What would the church look like if we surrendered our Martha mindset and sat before Jesus with hearts soaking in his presence like Mary chose to do? We live in a Martha world, right? A world that tells us we're not giving our best unless we're giving 150%, unless we're involved in a lot of activities, unless we're constantly busy. And the truth is we have to fight for Mary moments where we can just simply rest in the Lord's presence. That needs to be our biggest priority because really all Jesus wants is for us to sit at his feet, to spend time with us. And it all ties back into the greatest commandment Jesus gives to us, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And when this is not our primary focus, it's easy to feel weighed down by our other priorities, like Martha did. It's easy to let our to-do list consume us. There's a lot of things that can weigh us down, right? Family concerns, business responsibilities, busyness, the weight of the world, but they're all carried more easily when we put our relationship with Jesus first. We don't have to be distracted and anxious like Martha. When our priority is to spend time with Jesus, we can rest in who he is. So before we leave, I want to close in prayer together. If you were here last week, we did this. But I just want to invite you to close your eyes. And I want to encourage you to just sit at the Lord's feet, taking in his presence this morning. And as you do that, I just want to prompt you just with some things that you can pray, or you can pray on your own. But friends, he is with us this morning. He's here today, and he's calling out to each of us, tugging on our hearts, reminding us that he treasures the time that we spend with him. So bow your heads and close your eyes with me. And as you do, I just want to invite you to first thank Jesus for his love for you, for being a Lord who treasures time spent with you. Ask Jesus to make known to you anything that you put as a priority before spending time with him. Maybe it's what you're doing for him, or maybe it's something else that has your focus. Hand over your distractions to the Lord, the things that weigh you down, the things that keep your focus off of him. Ask Jesus to help you as you make him the focus of your life. Ask him to help you make time to spend in his presence. And thank Jesus for this gift of his love that can never be taken away. Jesus, I thank you for this story of Mary and Martha, and just for the reminder that you treasure time spent with us. And Lord, there's so many things in this world that can weigh us down, that we can get caught up in doing, maybe even some things we're doing for you, in your name. But Lord, I just pray over each and every person in this room this morning that those things wouldn't consume us, that they wouldn't become our number one priority, because, Lord, you want to be that in our lives. And it's really hard sometimes to keep that mindset, especially in this culture that we live in. But, Lord, I just pray that you would give us the strength to maybe set some things aside this week that are not as important as just spending time with you, sitting at your feet in your presence. Lord, this is something that I struggle with, that I need help with too. And I just pray that we would be a people who are just so in love with you, wanting to spend time with you, that nothing else seems to matter, God. And I just pray that 2018 would be a year where we would not be Martha-focused, but we would be constantly seeking those Mary moments in our lives. We thank you for your love for us, that you're a God who treasures us, that wants to spend time with us. And we just thank you for this time together this morning. We love you. Amen. All right, so go spend some time with Jesus. Have a great week.